Yeah, so it says to the Jew first and to the Greeks. So that physical one characterized. I'm going to tell you something. So the Roman church had two people, the Jews and the Greeks. Look at Romans 2:17. So what Paul is trying to do is that Paul is trying to explain that both the Jews and the Gentiles actually belong to God's salvation plan. I will tell you something. So he writes the book, writing to two different audiences, the Jews, the Greeks, who are members of the family of God, and trying to explain to them that God's plan has always been to include the Jews and the non-Jews. Because the Gentiles are actually the what? The non-Jews. Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
Look at Romans 2:17. It says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. Look at verse 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among you, the Gentiles, because of you. Look at verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from who? From God. So the first thing Paul does when he begins his letter is that he envelopes and says that the Jews are also under sin. That circumcision is not the basis of salvation. So he rolls out of verse 29 that circumcision is not one that is done of the letter, but it's one that is done of the heart. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So when we read circumcision, the Jews have seen circumcision as removal of the foreskin of a male reproductive system. But Paul says that circumcision is one that is of the what? Of the what? Of the heart. Look at Romans 3:1. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what profit is, what's the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because of them who have committed the oracles of God. Verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? So he's saying in Romans 3 that circumcision cannot be the basis of faith. Are we learning something? Verse 4, it says, certainly not indeed. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and be overcome when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness demonstrate the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my light to his glory, why am I also still judge the sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say that condemnation is just. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are what? All under. Have you seen what Paul does now? So from Romans 1 to Romans 3, what is Paul saying? The Jews and the Greeks are what? All under sin. So the Jews cannot boast because of circumcision. The Greeks can also not boast by the virtue of their strength of wisdom. It says both of them are what? All under sin. Are we learning something? Are we learning something? Look at verse 23. For all are what?
Sinned.
And what?
Come short of.
Now, in the context of Romans 3, who are the all?
The Jews
and the Gentiles. Are we learning something? Are we learning something?
Yes, sir.
Look at verse 9. Is it 9? Hey, okay. Verse 29. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law or works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that the man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is it the God of the Jews only? Is it not also the what? The God, are we there?
Yes.
The God of Gentiles. Yes, of the Gentiles only. Look at verse 30. Since there is what?
One God.
Look at what Paul is saying. Paul is saying there is only one God. God is one. Allow work back. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. So God is one. So when he says God is one, who understands what he's saying? He's the God of the Jews and the God of the what? Gentiles. So nobody has a more superior grace than the other. God is one. So the first fundamental about Christology is that God is one. Are you guys seeing it? Are you seeing it? This, what we're about to say now, we're going to break it down. God is one. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Here, let's read together. One, two, go. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God
is one.
The Lord is what? Is one. So what Paul says, Romans 3:30, God is one. What is Paul reading from? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse what? Verse 4. Now, notice, before Deuteronomy 6, 4, look, let's start from verse 1. It says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to what? To possess. Verse 2. That you may fear. So that means this instruction is given when they have crossed over to the what? The promised land. Are you seeing it? Verse 2. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your lives, that your days may be prolonged. Verse 4. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that I may be well with you, and may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your father has promised you, a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. So, the confession, the Lord God is one, is going to be made when? When they have crossed over to what? The promised land. Are you learning something? Now, go back to Romans 3. Look at verse 23. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory. Again, the all will be the Jews, the non-Jews. Look at verse 24. Being justified by his what? Grace. Through the what? Redemption that is in where? So the God saved the Jews and the Gentiles the same way.
Yes, yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
So if God saved the Jews and Gentiles the same, is God one?
Yes, sir.
So can they make the proclamation that God is one?
Yes,
sir. Do you understand? So, can we call the promised land salvation?
Yes.
Do you understand? Do you understand? So, Paul is saying, Moses has written to you from Deuteronomy chapter 6 that the moment you cross over to the promised land, you guys will make that confession. God is... I'm coming. I want to see where I wrote that. He's saying God is one. So it's not only the God of the Jews, it's now also the God of the non-Jews. So in God's salvation plan, or let's rather say, God in Christ accommodates not only the Jews who he gave the circumcision promise to, but also the non-Jews. In other words, it saves the black, the white, the tall, the short, the male, the female, the free, the slaves, the same way. That's why it's a universal message. The universal message is us announcing the Lord God is one. So whether I'm in Zamfara, the Lord God is one. I'm in Chicago, the Lord God is one. The moment I alter it, then I'm no longer preaching the Lord God is one. I'm not preaching polytheism. There are many gods. Are you learning something?
Yes, sir.
Are you learning something? Yes. Now look at Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, Paul does an interesting combat. Remember, who is the audience? The audience of Romans 4 is the Jews and the Gentiles.
Yes, very good.
Now, if you mention Romans chapter 4, it says, what then shall we say that our father Abraham? Of course, can the Gentiles call Abraham their father? So, look at two things. The Gentiles could not have called Abraham their father. It's only the Jews that could have. The second one, the Gentiles could not have adopted the practice of circumcision. Because the moment they adopt the practice of circumcision, they are no longer Gentiles, they are now Jews. And that defeats the one God message. If it's one God, it means it's the same to me, it's the same to you. The moment you have to adopt, convert into him, it's not one God. It's now poly. That means the God you are serving cannot accommodate your excesses. Are you guys learning something? Are you sure? So Romans 4, Paul mentions Abraham. I mean, the Jews, the Gentiles. Abraham is not your physically, let's say that. He's not your father physically. Of course, you are Nigerian. Of course, spiritually, is your father. But the Gentiles couldn't have called Abraham their father physically because they knew where every man came from. You know, yeah, Romans from Rome. They were Gentiles. Of course, they were not circumcised. Have we learned something?
Yes, yes.
So, but behind the scenes, Paul now begins to quote some Old Testament promises. Look at Romans 4:3. He says, what does the scripture say? We've always used this, but we're going to build a much another step to it. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was what? Accounted to him for righteousness. Where's that? Genesis chapter 15. Let's go there. Verse 6. Are we learning something? So, the Lord your God is one. We have to remember our theology is what? Christology. There is no way. We have to establish this foundational truth first. God is one. Alhamdulillah. Whoever is listening to this voice note, I'm a Christian. We are not confused. He is one. That's why when you travel to a state like Syria, well, let's not use Syria, let's use Scotland, where the women or men already wear long skirts, you won't tell them to start wearing trousers. Because in the moment you do so, you are already doing polytheism. God has to meet him the way he is. Are you guys learning something? And we're going to see that very soon. That's the problem the Corinthian church had. Because the Corinthian church had a lot of people. No, different is like Lagos. Like a lot of people. I just come to church, cutting this tie, doing this kind of party. Somebody say, That's why there cannot be division in the church. The moment there's division, we are already dividing the word of truth, the word of God. Already dividing the word of God. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because the church is a reflection that God is one. So we'll see what's like one accord, one spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's a reflection of the monotheistic view we have about God. God is one. Are we learning something?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure? It's very interesting. But see, there's a more interesting part we're going to. So, God is one. Now, look at Genesis 15:5. In Genesis 15:1, now look at something. Well, see, you are going to be really shocked very soon. Are you ready? In verse 1, it says, After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and the exceeding great reward. Say, God is my reward.
God is my reward.
Yeah, so the reward couldn't have been material resources. You will see it now. If the reward is material resources, God will not say, I am the exceeding great reward. So the conversation God and Abraham was having in Genesis 15 couldn't have been material resources. It couldn't have been for the now. Are you understand what I'm saying? Because the moment God says, I am your great, exceeding great reward. Now look at something, verse 2. Abraham was not still getting the gist. Abraham now said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing that I go childless? Look at verse 3. He says, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Verse 4, and behold, the Lord came to him, saying, the one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your what? Own, from your house. Who has own body? From your bowels. Okay, underline house, bowels, just underline it. From your own body. He says, shall be your heir. Now look at verse 5. He now brought Abraham out. He now said, look now towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he what? Accounted it for
righteousness.
So what did Abraham believe? Look at them. Verse 5. God said, count the stars, if you are able to measure them. That's how your descendants will be. That's what Abraham believed. He believed that his seed was going to be very plenty. But again, he didn't even have a child. So Paul is saying, when God called Abraham righteous, Abraham had not had a child. It's Mr. AY that brought TK, your mom. Mr. AY. Mr. AZ, sorry. Are we learning something? So if God could, it wasn't, Abraham did not have a child. Are you guys learning something?
Yes, sir.
Are you saying, he didn't have a child. And God takes him out, God takes him to the stars. God said, if you can number the stars, that's how your children will be. Abraham says, Abraham believed God. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And that time he has not had a child. Was Abraham circumcised already in Genesis 15? Was he circumcised? Of course not. He wasn't circumcised in Genesis 15. So if he wasn't circumcised in Genesis 15, if he was not circumcised in Genesis 15, it means circumcision couldn't have been the basis for God's righteousness. If it was, it couldn't have been the basis. Again, who is Paul writing to? The Jews and the Gentiles. So Paul is trying to tell Gentiles that you are also part of God's plan from Genesis. God did not just have a afterthought. He has always put you in his plan. Are you learning something? Praise the Lord. See, we are getting there. See, you say, wow, I love my Bible. What is that song again? I was singing. What's the beginning again? Nice. Do you know this song? I carry your presence everywhere. Who am I? Mortal man. Hallelujah. We are mortal, but God is awesome. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Look at something. So he says, you have many descendants. Look at that. He says, so shall your seed, your descendants, your nations, your tribes be. Genesis 15 presents to us an identification message. Look at Genesis 12 verse 3. In Genesis 11, Abraham leaves his father's house. Are we learning something? In Genesis 12, 3, he says, I'll bless those who bless you. Okay, let's look at Genesis 11, verse 1. And Terah took his son, Abraham and his grandson, Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, his son, Abraham's wife. And they went out with them from all Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Aram and dwelt there. See, guys, they were still Gentiles here. You know why? They're not being circumcised. God's salvation plan doesn't start with the Jews. Well, it does. But they were Gentiles. Was Noah circumcised?
No.
Was Adam circumcised? No. If Adam wasn't circumcised, was Eve circumcised? No. So was God's salvation plan from the Jews? Of course not. But of course, do you understand what I'm saying? We start from the Jews because Abraham was circumcised eventually in Genesis 17. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm saying God started using men in the Bible before they were circumcised. So God has always been using men irrespective of their works. Are we learning something? Remember, God is one. Look at Genesis 12:3. God makes a promise. He says, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. Indeed. That is identification. What is the word? We have been blessed all spiritual blessings in Christ. Through Christ. With Christ. By Christ. That's Genesis 12:3. So look up, everybody. That means, if it says, in you shall all the families of the earth, that means, just because of their association with Abraham, what happened to them? They'll be blessed.
Yes.
So our association with Christ is what gives us blessing. Are you guys saying it?
Yes, sir.
Is that identification? Of course it is. Again, Jews and the Gentiles. Are we learning something?
Yes.
Look at Genesis 17:4.
Oh man, that's a man so full of.
says, as for me, my covenant is with you. Have you seen it? Is with you. My covenant is with you. I will be with you. Hallelujah. He says, my covenant will be with you. And you shall be what? A father. Are we there, everybody? A father of many nations. Come on. Look at some. If he says many nations, it couldn't be one tribe. One tribe cannot be many nations. Many nations means many tribes. I will tell you something. It couldn't have been one tribe. He uses many nations. Go in the Greek. That means many ethnic groups. I will tell you something. Is God wise?
Yes,
sir. Now look at Genesis 17, where are we? Verse 4. I'll make you a father of many nations. Sorry. Look at verse 7. He says, and I'll establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants was after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. That's Genesis 17, verse 7. Well, we are still going. Look at verse 8. He says, and I'll give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, or the land of Canaan, as an what? Everlasting. And look at verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be what?
So
look at everybody. What was the procession? When God gave the promise, were they circumcised?
No.
So did the circumcision come before the promise, or the circumcision came after the promise? Are you guys learning something? Look at something. Verse 11. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign. Hold that. A sign. So go back to Romans 4. So Moses is rather describing a seal. He's not talking about an endorsement of the covenant. He's not saying, you know, this. Let me give you something that all relate to it. Let's say you are going to marry in the future. Okay, I'm going to marry Fe in the future. So I come to meet Fe, and I tell Fe that I'm going to marry you. I love you. One of the proofs that I'm not going to leave you or forsake you, how did they say it? Is I'm going to give you a ring. So the ring is a proof of what I have said. Who is the one doing everything eventually? Is it not me? Now is now different from I give him a ring. And I said, what is the ring for? And I said, no, if you're not asking me that, Tony, like, I've not proposed to him or done anything. He just says, Tony, give me a ring. I'm like, are you learning something?
Yes.
So the giving of the ring is after I have made a promise. So the proof to the Jews that God did make that promise I was going to fulfill it was that they were going to get circumcised. Are you guys getting something?
Yes, sir.
Are you guys getting something? I'm going to marry. Ah, this is voice. Anybody that says, I'm not going to marry him with a man. But I'm going to marry Ife. The proof I'm going to marry Ife is that I'm going to give him my ring. And I will kneel down. The love of my life. The apple that I eat. The beauty in the star. It's when I see you, my heart radiates with glory and splendor. Hallelujah! Somebody shout out to the
hallelujah!
So the proof that I'm going to do that is I give him a ring. So Paul wants to explain that. Look at Romans chapter 4. Are we ready? So Moses uses the word covenant. Use the word promise. Use the word everlasting. Use the word with you, in you. Now look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 13 to 14. Go on Genesis 17, verse 13 to 14.
Oh my, that your plan is so full of awesome God. I'll be mortal man. Awesome God.
Hallelujah. Genesis 17, verse 13. It says, he who is born in your house, and he who is bought with money. Are you saying it? Are you guys saying
yes,
it? Shall be, verse 13. He who is born in your house, and he who is bought with your money, must be circumcised.
circumcised male child, who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my word.
Covenant.
Look at verse 13. He who is born in your house, and he who is bought with your what?
Money.
Was that God not envisaging that there will be people? If you say bought with money, that means they are slaves. So God is both saying both the free and the slaves are going to be under my promise. Are you learning something? So go to Romans 4:9. Romans chapter 4, verse 9. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. Look at verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision. A what?
A seal
of the righteousness of faith. So he says the circumcision was a seal for them. Now let's look up. He's writing to Roman Jews and Roman Gentiles. Are you hearing something? When you say seal, seal was actually used to keep the content of a document secure. When a Roman made the last will, a testament, when he's about to die, he will gather 6 witnesses, and each person will place his seal on the document. This would ensure that no one will tamper with the wordings of his will. In other words, when Paul says,